that's right. We do have Congressman Mark Sanford on the phone with us. How are you doing, Congressman Mark Sanford?
I'm doing fine. Been a little busy. Ready to get out of Washington, D.C. at some point. They've been keeping us here in the cage the last couple weeks.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about here this morning. You know, one of the things, Mark, that I find very interesting is that you had been involved in the 1995 shutdown. What can you tell us is the difference based on today versus then?
I'd say there are two major differences. One is, ultimately, at the end of the day, this thing is about spending and a breakdown of the way that money is spent in Washington, D.C., in a way that's very different than in the mid-1990s. One of the ways, you know, that I've noticed, it jumps out at you as soon as you come up here, is basically your government has been running on automatic pilot. It runs on what are called continuing resolutions. And that basically that is, let's take what we spent last year and let's spend the more or less the same this coming year. Now, that's a horrible way to run your business, your family budget, and certainly your government, because, you know, if you're in business and you're doing a budget, you might have some areas that are doing really well, and you say, you know, we need to be putting some more money over here, and this area over here, it isn't doing so well, we need to be taking some money out of that category. And that reshuffling of the cards basically isn't happening in Washington, and it really hadn't happened in the last 4 years. In contrast, when I was here in the mid-1990s, you have 12 different spending categories that make up the federal government, and you'd have an annual debate each year on how much we should be spending in these different categories. I remember going down with a fellow by the name of Tom Coburn from Oklahoma with literally 100 amendments to the agriculture bill, and you know, a young upstart, if you will, in Congress could have, you know, their chance at a voice. You might have your amendments voted up or down, but you could have a voice. With these giant CRs, continuing resolutions, you know, the rank-and-file members don't get a voice. I mean, they're largely packaged by leadership, both Republican and Democratic at the top. And, again, government runs on automatic pilot. So this breakdown that has occurred with this, you know, shutdown is really, at the end of the day, not really about the Affordable Care Act. It's not about all the stuff you see tossed up in Washington, D.C. as to what the cause is. It's really about spending and a fundamental disagreement about spending, because as long as the Senate is one level, the House is another level, the White House is another level, you could pass a clean CR tomorrow, and we'll be right back in this bucket that we're in 5-6 weeks. So it's about spending. That's one deal. And the other thing that's really different is the degree to which the president has been willing to hold, in essence, American citizens hostage as a way of gaining political favor. And I'll give you an example. The Lincoln Memorial has never been shut down in the history of the United States of America. Now, so in the last shutdown, and there was a bitter disagreement between Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, and yet, you know, Clinton didn't shut down the monument or any of the other open-air monuments, or make it impossible to see Mount Rushmore, or back down home toward Charleston. I got a letter from our Department of Natural Resources, and they were upset because Buckhall Landing, which is just an open landing, boat landing, is on federal property. They barricaded the thing up, but mind you, the Department of Natural Resources saying, this is crazy. This has been an unmanned boat landing. Nobody's ever been around. No federal agents have ever been there, and y'all are now boarding it up. So that is really different as well, and those two things jump out at me.
Well, what about today? There is supposed to be this 20 Republicans meeting with President Obama. Do you think that this is going to be the start of something, and do you still think that Republicans are going to, what shall we say, hold the line, or are we going to have the capitulation we've seen in the past, Mark?
No, I mean, I got to give real credit to the conference. I mean, I think, again, I don't have a lot of experience here in recent days. I mean, I only got here, you know, I guess five months ago, or 4 months ago. But But as best I've been able to determine in talking to other Republicans is the conference has been as unified basically as it's ever been over the last couple of years. They have certainly been holding the line in terms of trying to force this issue with the president and Harry Reid thus far. My suspicion is there's a working of a deal, a timeout with that group that's going down there, and you just sort of hear the echo chamber, the whisper chamber of some kind of temporary deal that would get us past this debt ceiling debate and move us a month out. And the president said he wants to talk. Okay, fine. Here's a month to talk. That's what I think is going to happen, but I don't really know, and I don't have any evidence for that. So we'll see.
Now, what are the biggest things that you have heard from your constituents about the effect of the shutdown?
Just that they're upset. I mean, you know, at a human level, they're like, you know, y'all sound like a bunch of spoiled children up there. Y'all need to get along. Now, I guess the old saying is, if you like sausage, don't watch it being made. I think the same is true of the political process. And so, you know, I think that there are some real heartfelt beliefs. I mean, for instance, very legitimately, I believe, Republicans have raised some real questions about constitutional balance of power. I mean, our founding fathers were very deliberate in setting up three branches, and they said, okay, laws will be created by the Congress, they'll be interpreted by the judicial branch, and they'll be administered by the executive branch. And yet, for the first time ever, really, we have a president going in and saying, you know what, this part over here, I'm just going to unilaterally decide to enforce this part, but not this part. And can you imagine President Bush or President Clinton saying, tell you what, I'm just going to partially enforce this new tax cut that's going in place. We're going to apply it to these people over here, but not to these people over here. People would go berserk. And yet, fundamentally, that's what this president is doing when he says, okay, for large businesses, you guys are exempt for the next year. We're going to delay implementation for a year for y'all. But for individuals struggling to make it, y'all are not exempt, and we're going to apply it to you. And that really is a constitutional issue because there is no authority for a president picking and choosing which parts of a law they're going to enforce. It's either the whole law or you need to go back to the Congress and say, look, we need to ask for a technical amendment or amendment to change this bill because we can't enforce it. It would be having a very different conversation if the president had done that. He did not do that. He just sort of said, I'm the executive and I get to pick. Well, not based on our Constitution. So that's a big issue, and it's worthy of a fight. The other issue that's going on is, as I mentioned earlier, this issue of spending. You could have a dozen agreements saying we're just going to get along to go along and it'll be all right, but we'll always end up in the same bucket that we're in as long as we don't have an agreement on spending. And that's where the system is broken down. Apparently for the last 4 or 5 years as the government has sort of operated on automatic pilot with these continuing resolutions, just taking what we spent last year and spending it again. I mean, whether you're conservative or liberal, you'd say, you know, the government we do have, we want to function well. And you can't have a government that functions well if you're simply throwing the same amount of cash to the same categories each year, regardless of whether doing well or not so well.
Well, and one final question, Mark. As far as you have brought your staff back and you are working, you are all working, How are you paying them?
Well, they're not paid yet. I mean, they won't be paid till that bill goes through. But our point was, look, the handwriting's on the wall. Y'all gonna get paid, and therefore, if you're gonna be paid by taxpayers, I think you ought to work. Otherwise, it amounts to a taxpayer financed vacation. And so that vote passed on Saturday. It was 407-0. The president said he's going to sign it in terms of furloughed federal workers. And, in fact, if you look at any of the last shutdowns, the last 17 shutdowns, there have been 17 shutdowns since basically the mid-1970s. In every one of those instances, federal workers have ended up receiving back pay. And so when I saw that vote on Saturday, I said, all right, this is enough. The handwriting's on the wall. Y'all are going to be paid, so everybody needs to come on back and be working. So that's what we did.
Are other offices working up there, Mark?
Some are, some aren't. But again, it fits to this larger thing. It seems to me to be a charade. If you know somebody's going to get paid and you ain't asking them to work, I mean, it's like, you know, this whole notion of shutting down the World War II Memorial or the Lincoln Memorial, even though it's never happened in the history of our country, but, you know, you figure, well, we'll have more political effect. I mean, think about what the president did at the time of sequester.
Yes.
He said, okay, because of sequester, we can't afford to offer public tours, school tours in the White House. Now, mind you, that's the people's house. It's never been shut down to public tours, with the exception of some dicey times, I guess, in World War II, over the history of our country. I mean, you'd have to go back to Jefferson's time in war in around the Capitol to find a time when the public couldn't go and have access to the White House. But he said, no, because of the sequester, we have to do that. That's still in effect. So an eighth-grade kid leaving Greenwood or Greenville on their one big school trip to Washington, D.C., can't go visit the White House. As a way, somehow, the president believes, of gaining political leverage or favor in a debate that occurred months ago on the sequester. And so I, again, for whatever reason, there's been a lot of that up here, and, you know, I'm not for charades, and so therefore when I saw, you know, folks are going to get paid, I said, come on back to work.
You know, and I think that goes to the Ken Fisher coming up and paying the $100,000 to the five or six fallen heroes that we had, veterans coming back. I mean, we call, a senator called, and they got involved and paid that. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the same thing. If you talk to people in the armed services, what they said was, we believe that the language was totally clear, that the White House had the discretion to pay these fallen soldiers and take care of the families coming to Dover Air Force Base. Instead, as a way of highlighting the shutdown, the executive branch decided, no, we don't have the authority to do that. So what did we do yesterday? We passed a bill that said, absolutely, you have the authority. It passed overwhelmingly with Republican and Democratic support. This president is into some showmanship or some gamesmanship that I think ultimately will backfire on him. I think that, you know, people can read through things, and I think people are getting a sense of, wait a minute, Lincoln Memorial doesn't have to be shut down. Boat landings back home in my district don't have to be shut down. A lot of other things that are going on don't have to be happening. What's really going on here? We'll see what happens, but that's my sense.
And I also, last question, I understand that Moody's came out this morning and said we could still pay the interest and not default on the debt.
Correct.
So,
which doesn't fit at all with what the White House is saying. I mean, they're trying to scare people to death, and yet Moody's, which is one of the big three credit agencies in New York, has said, no, it's not that simple.
Well, I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to call. I will look forward to talking to you again, Congressman Mark Sanford.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.